This is a Collider.com audio interview.
This is a question for Natalie.
I'm sorry, I can't hear where the voice is coming from. Thank you.
You had over a year of really rigorous training through Black Swan. Mm-hmm. I was wondering how you made such a quick turnaround to make this movie, like, were there any challenges with it?
You're like, how did you get fat so quickly? it was pretty great. It was like a palate cleanser after all of that really disciplined, focused, very serious kind of set to a really playful, fun. I mean, obviously everyone's still very professional on this kind of movie, but there's an improvisational feel all the time, and everyone's there to like play, and it was a really great atmosphere, and I didn't have to work out because I was like, she's a doctor, so they don't have time.
Okay, our next question is over here.
Hi, this is for Ashton. What's the most romantic thing you've ever done for someone?
Oh man, why do I always get these? It's really hard to say. The most romantic thing I've ever done for someone. I think that romance is sort of coincides with effort. So, you can fall flat on your face, but as long as you're making great effort, I think it comes off as romantic. So it can be something as simple as, like, if you're someone who doesn't cook, you make a meal. Or it's anything that has a little bit of vulnerability in it and requires great effort. So I think for me, I'm a little bit of a workaholic, and I was like in a different country, and I had one day off, and I flew from that different country just to see someone for an hour and then turn around and get back. So it's probably that.
Next question, baby.
Hi, Natalie. You played the executive producer, for this movie, and how do you balance between, the producer role and the star or actor role in this movie?
Well, it was a really exciting process to get to be involved for the first time so early, working with Liz and Ivan. I came on a couple years, I think, before the project, so to get to sort of watch their process and get to talk to them about the script, and I mean, they were definitely controlling that process, but it was fun to be included in the sort of evolution of the script and seeing how it changed and why it changed, and to have Ivan's expertise of, pacing and figuring out, oh, at the end there needs to be more movement, because in the original there was, it was in the original script that Liz wrote, it was sort of a contained scene at the end. He's like, no, we have to get them moving on the road. It has to, and to learn those things through the process was really exciting.
First question about that.
For Ashton and Natalie, do you think that friendship is
a what?
Do you think that friendship can
survive sex without feelings? I wouldn't know. I haven't been fortunate enough to try one of those relationships out. So, I really think that whoever you're with ultimately needs to be your friend. So, all the really successful, happy relationships that I know of, the people that are together are friends anyway. I don't know that sex always has to have feelings, but I think friendship always does. And so if you're friends, you're gonna have feelings of some sort, some layer, some level of like a deeper feeling. So I don't know that it's completely possible.
Ashton, this is Natalie's first rom-com, so did you do anything to make her feel more at ease, or did you just tease her mercilessly and talk her over?
I learned more from Natalie in like one day of like being on set together than I could ever possibly teach her in a billion years. And I think, she may not have done a rom-com before, but she's done so much work in so many different levels of I even watch like Garden State or something like that. That's like comedic in and of itself, but also is like true, specific, organic performances. And I don't know that there's anything I can really teach her.
Well, that's very sweet, but you did all this.
Did he tease you at all, though?
Tease me? I think well, you always tease me. Because I was like, are you wearing flats again? Really?
It was mostly height jokes, and then she would get very upset with me. She looks like my child standing next to each other. I asked her if she could reach the pedals in a car one day. That didn't go over very well.
Natalie, right here. Did you create any kind of backstory for this character to sort of figure out where she, how she got to this point?
Absolutely. Well, but a lot of it was provided to me in Liz's script, which was really wonderful, you know, about the sort of having this incredible loss early on and not really wanting to, you know, wanting to be this sort of pillar for her family and not wanting to get hurt. And also I had, you know, I think most women have know someone like this if they're not like this themselves, that, you know, they know what happens when you, that leads you to a point where you're not even looking for intimacy anymore. You're just looking for the physical side and not the emotional side, that something breaks a little bit before you get to that point. It's not just something, a way that you're born.
This is basically for Liz and Ivan. Liz, when you wrote the script, in terms of the timing, this is probably an excellent Valentine's Day or movie. So did you write it with that in mind, or how did the timing work out that you guys had a romantic comedy in time for Valentine's Day?
I'm going to give you that one. Really, this is a studio decision on when the most benign date is for a particular movie. And you know, they said, how about January 21st? I said, why, do people go to the movies on January 21st? And they said, yeah, it's great. So that's why we're here. Look, this movie has been in development for a good 3 years. 2 years where, you know, the three of us had been working, and Ashton got involved about a year ago. And it's, you don't think about release dates, you just think about how do you make a great movie, what's wonderful about this, and then you have to fight, all the perceptions of Hollywood in terms of what's a good movie to make, and just try to get it going.
Although I think they should create a holiday for Friends with Benefits relationships. Because I feel like Valentine's Day is like, maybe. Maybe it's a day to stay home and cry. I don't know.
Hi, thanks for advocating safe sex on your movie. I think it's really important as a message about a movie about sex. Can you guys comment on the prevalence of sex in your movie, how that might affect teens, and maybe how it's being glorified in the media recently? And Natalie, if you wouldn't mind, as a pregnant person yourself, maybe some moments that maybe might deter teens from engaging in sex and getting pregnant.
Well, I'm not a teen, so that's the first thing I'll say. I'm a grown-up. Yeah.
Even though she's small.
It's deceptive, but it is.
I questioned it myself. Don't feel bad.
Obviously, it is really prevalent in our country, and I think that's part of what the movie addresses, is that, you know, we have so much sex in our media that's dissociated from emotions. We have so much separation between feeling and the emotional and the physical side of sex, and they really do belong together. And yes, condoms were fake used in the fake sex scenes in this movie.
But people should use real
condoms. Exactly. Not prop condoms.
Like
you're bombing.
No, not at all. I think, you know, there's so much that's not said about sex in our country, even from an education level. And I do a lot of work on human trafficking, and I connect a lot with girls that come up and end up in this trade, if you will. And partially because of a lack of education about sex in the country. And I think that sometimes, you know, we get to make films that sort of open things up and make things that people can talk about. And one of the things that I find really interesting in looking at, you know, I don't want to like veer off on a weird human trafficking thing, but one of the interesting things is, like, especially for women in the sex education process in schools, the one thing that they teach about is like how to get pregnant or how to not get pregnant, but they don't really talk about sex as a point of pleasure for women. Like the male orgasm is actually like right there and readily available to learn about because it's actually part of the reproductive cycle. And the female orgasm isn't really talked about in the education system, and therefore part of that, I think, as a spin-off, creates a place where women aren't empowered around their own sexuality and around their own sexual selves. And so, you know, from a purely entertainment point of view, to create a movie with a female lead that is empowered with her own sexuality, I think is a really, really powerful thing. And I think if we could give teenage people something to think about from a sex perspective, I would say that it would be to start opening up a conversation where women are empowered with their own sexual experiences from an educational level as well as an entertainment level.
That was good. All the girls are like, yes, yes, Ashton, you're totally right.
I put a life on the fan of your work, and I was wondering, this seemed like, if I recall properly, this seems like it's the first real, like, relationship comedy you've done. I know that, like, Dave had the political aspect on top of it and stuff like that, and also this is, seems like it's the first time in a while that you've done a real, you know, kind of adult, raunchy, kind of fun stuff like that. And so I just wanted to know, was there anything, any challenge in tackling this type of genre for you, or anything different about it for you? And also, was it a conscious effort to, hey, look for something more wild and crazy again, you know, outside of, like, say, the sci-fi type of evolution? Things like that were kind of crazy, but you know what I mean? Like, on a real world level, crazy.
Well, I'll start. it was a pleasure. Making this film was a pleasure, yeah. I think I got lost in making science fiction movies for a while. I think there's something about the power of a movie like Ghostbusters that sort of twists one's head a little bit. And I suddenly realized when I started looking back at the films I had made that really so many of them had a kind of science fiction element to them. Even a movie like Dave, really about a doppelganger, that it's possible that two men, you know, one of whom is the President of the United States, look exactly the same, and the other guy gets to take over, or Twins. Twins is really a science fiction movie. And when I started working with Liz on this thing, I just loved the words, I loved the situations, I loved the comfort of being able to direct really fine actors in rooms where they just talk to each other. And I really wanted to do that again. I think it was possibly even sort of watching my son do that in his film sort of reawakened me to the real pleasure that a filmmaker can get from that. So I thank him for that. And I had suddenly this extraordinary screenplay. And I was able to find these wonderful actors, you know, starting with Natalie and Ashton, that sort of could people this sort of very naturalistic comedy that, yes, it's raunchy and it's funny and it's broad at times, but it's really real people talking to each other about real things. And I found that sort of very exciting to do and very satisfying.
Hi, about
this improvisation going in the set? How much did you actually improv? In which scenes did you get crazy and make like a lot of things?
Well, I have to say that Liz wrote 99% of what you see on screen. She, like, everything is really, really there in the script. It was really a very, very funny script always. I think that's what always carried us through. And but there were certain times, I mean, for me, I don't know about other scenes, but for me, I think the most was the pumpkin night, probably, when I was screaming at the girls. We had a lot of pumpkin related jokes that were going on for a very long time.
I also believe that you know, improvisation is really just, it's a directorial tool, and it's a writing tool. It's not so much that, you know, the actors get to say whatever they want, whatever pops into their head. It's an opportunity to write the last draft of the screenplay as you're working on it. Because, you know, you do a lot of takes, you do a lot of coverage, and the actual locations, the actual props, the real performers doing the scenes, you know, informs new ideas. And, you know, and ideas are coming from everywhere. Liz was on the set all the time. You know, we had very smart producers, and the actors are very smart about their own characters, and, you know, these opportunities come up, and, you know, it's my job as a director to sort of say, you know, that really works, do that, encourage that, and then at other times discourage things that I think, you know, take away from the spirit of the scene or the focus of a particular character.
Yeah, this is just a question for the entire group. I'm curious just what projects you all have coming up and what you're excited about.
Liz.
I'm writing a pilot for Fox, and also writing two projects, for one for Paramount and one for Universal. I'm very excited.
I'm cooking a child, so.
I'm getting ready to reunite with Gary Marshall on a New Year's Eve project that's not a sequel, but somewhat of a follow-up to the Valentine's Day movie that we did together.
I'm not sure what I'm going to do next.
Your next question is right over there.
This question is for Natalie Nash and for Ivan. The first sex scene is pretty unflinching. Can you tell us about shooting it? And Ivan, why you decided to shoot it in a pretty static two, close up, very realistic and stark?
Well, I'll start. I just I didn't want to do anything particularly romantic and filmic. I was sort of more interested in, you know, we tease their relationship for the first 10 or 15 minutes of the film's preamble, and here's this first moment that these two characters are going to be together. And this is a movie really that starts with them having sex and then seeing what that relationship is going to evolve like. And I just really believe in their chemistry. I believed that you can see it right here in just watching them, and it's very evident in the film. And I thought, well, I have something really powerful here, that they're clearly exciting to look at together in every form, and there's something lovely about it. And I just made it easy. And I thought there was something much more powerful about watching really close their facial expressions than trying to go for anything else. And that by just sitting on it for a while and letting it go a little bit longer than maybe is comfortable would sort of give it the power that it deserves.
Well, also being horizontal gave the only opportunity for a tight two shot, because if we're standing up, you know, you can't fit us in. Right.
Unless you're on boxes.
Yeah. So, but it was, you know, I mean, the nice thing was is that I think we did the scene pretty deep into the shoot. So we had already had like a, you know, comfortable sort of as comfortable as you can be in that scenario, you know, relationship and you know, the respect and...
I was wearing sweatpants. So I think there's like...
I was not.
I think you're sort of always waiting, wondering when the word cut is going to be said when you're doing this scene. Like, you're there and you're in doing the scene and you're always sort of like, okay, are they going to call cut? How far are we taking this? Are they going to call cut? And so I think it's always that, like... And it was sort of technical too, you know. Ivan comes back and he's like, "I think you need to orgasm sooner," you know. And it's like, and so you're trying to, like, you know, like your male machismo is like, "No, no, no, it's going to take me much longer than this." but it's, yeah, it's, you know, and I'm sure like every actor says it, it's always very technical, and because you're trying to like show each other's faces, but yet, you know, stay in the moment, and so. It's always slightly more complicated than it is in real life.
Okay.
Right.
Can you Natalie, I want to ask you about your journey through award season. You've been through this before. I'm just wondering, you know, have you learned some methods of kind of dealing with it all, and do you try to enjoy every moment of it, and what's been the best moment so far for you? And Ivan, I wanted to ask you if you have any aspirations to direct an episode of Glee, having sort of done it here.
I'll let you go first, Natalie.
It's, you know, it's a big honor to have people be excited about a movie you make. It's the one thing that you want is for an audience to connect to what you make. So it's always really exciting to have that feeling. And I think the best experience so far was that we got to do a round table with all the actresses, and to get, it's so rare to get to sit with other actresses of all generations, you know, people who are just starting out, people who have been doing it for, you know, 30 years, and hear everyone's experiences and hear what it's like, you know, for people to be mothers and actresses. And it was, I wished it wasn't on camera because it was, you know, for a website or whatever, but it was the coolest thing. I was like, if I could just get this experience, that's like the best prize of anything, just to get to hang out with these other women I admire.
I'd love to do a musical, actually. My background is in music. I have a bachelor's in music. I thought I was going to be a composer long ago when I first started. And so it was amazingly fun to do those two routines in the film. I mean, they were shot very quickly. We did them all in a day. And they're really quite elaborate, and originally went on longer, but didn't seem to, it took you out of the film to sort of hold on it much longer. But maybe one day, something I'd like to do.
When a lot of this subject matter is focused on sex, as it is in this film, can you talk to us about whether the two of you, Natalie and Ashton, whether you have parameters, whether you like have to look at the rushes afterwards, or the days, or... and what you kind of go through. So when you're actually making those scenes, do you talk about completely different things? How do you approach it? Because I know obviously you're both experienced and brilliant actors, but is it embarrassing still? You know, what's it like?
I'm pretty immature, so I think I'm like, I get pretty embarrassed easily. But yeah, I would like check out once in a while, you know, certain shots to make sure that I've felt okay. Because sometimes once you see it, like there was one of the panties coming off that we did, and after I washed it, I was like, oh, that's not bad, because it was really quick. It wasn't like lingering on anything that I felt, you know, modest about or anything. So, I checked a little, and we were just, you do sort of go the opposite direction between takes. Be like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? You know, like just totally benign conversation in between to make it a little normal.
I just start by apologizing. Like the first, like, before, like, you know, you sort of like try to set like some, you know, ground rules and just apologize for like, I think somebody told me, and I'm not sure who the actor was. I think it was like Sir Laurence Olivier said. I always use Sir Laurence Olivier. When in doubt, use Sir Laurence Olivier. I think he said something like, something to the effect of like, I apologize if I get aroused, and I apologize if I do not get aroused. and you have to say it with the accent if you're going to do so there's sort of always that kind of like awkward state of like, you know, is this okay? Is that okay? And then, yeah, and then in between it's like, just let's act like nothing happened, and you know, and then you see how good of an actor you really are.
For Natalie, could you talk a little bit? You've done this for so long and done so much brilliant work. Could you talk about what a Best Actress Oscar would mean to you, and also just anything you want to say about your mommy? But
I think it's obviously a big honor, especially. I mean, it's. The company in which it puts you, even to be mentioned among these other women, is a huge, huge honor and a huge compliment. So I think it's just an extremely flattering thing to be and meaningful just to be among these other people that I really, really respect and admire.
Natalie, Emma clearly rocks at mini golf. So I'm wondering how's your own game and how much luck or practice or multiple takes is required to put together that montage.
Can I take credit for it, Ivan?
Absolutely. She's an amazing golfer.
I'm really good at mini golf. You know, maybe not big person golf, but little person golf, I rock. That was very fun to get to have that evening. that's sorry. More to say.
Natalie, you throw in Your Highness and four. This is 9 months of pretty eclectic stuff that you're doing. And was this by accident or design? And how do you feel about this kind of mix in your CV?
Well, you have heard the apocalypse is coming, right? 2012, Mayan calendar. Thought I'd get it all in right before. it was a great opportunity to get to do a lot of different things in a year, it was. I feel like I learned so much from doing all of these different types of movies and back to back, because you bring, you know, the research and the seriousness and the discipline of doing a drama into, you know, something like Thor, and you bring the humor and the improvisational attitude from something like Your Highness into Black Swan. I mean, it was really kind of a lucky order, because I did Your Highness and then Black Swan and then Thor and then No Strings. So it was really interesting. I mean, I feel bad for boring people with my face for a while, but in terms of as an actress, it was really an exciting thing to get to work on all of these things almost back to back.
This is for the group. No Strings Attached, I know, is sort of the first in the spate of a couple of movies and a TV show about sort of casual relationships. Why do you think that this is a subject that people are interested in telling stories about right now?
Hi, how are you? We had a long interview together a few months ago. It's been a while.
Liz, it's felt
like. Yeah, Liz.
I think it's sort of the way that relationships come together these days, and I think like in a lot of romantic comedies, it ends with a kiss, you know, and I feel like in modern day relationships, and maybe it's just my own experience, it starts with a kiss and then it kind of, you know, it all sort of falls apart, it comes together, you know, you're texting, you're, you know, wondering what's going on, there's no definitions, there's no labels, and I think that's really what's going on right now, and I think a lot of, the, like, romantic comedy sort of needs to catch up with, like, what's actually kind of happening, and, yeah, and ours is the best.
She said ours was the best.
It sounds more important when you say it.
Look, we started working on this, as I said, a good 3 years ago. It seemed to be in the zeitgeist. And over my career, you know, which has spanned all kinds of odd shifts, you know, I've sort of made it a point to try to pay attention to that. And it seemed like the way we communicate, so much of romantic relationships today have to do when the people are not in the same room. And whether it's texting or emailing or Facebooking, there's a kind of distance between the participants. And I think it sort of shifted the energy of that sort of first romantic meeting, where it's quicker, perhaps more desperate, more energetic in a whole different way. And it's resulted in a situation where people seem to be sort of sometimes more comfortable having a sexual relationship than an emotional one. And it seems to be the way things have generated now. And I think it's certainly fitting subject matter for a film, particularly a comedic film.
Hi, Ivan. How familiar were you going into this with Lil Wayne and his beverage of choice, purple drink?
Thank you.
What sort of the younger generational zeitgeisty things did you pick up from Liz and her script, and possibly from even your kids?
Certainly, this is not my generation. You know, I'm of the baby boom generation that sort of, we thought we invented, free love starting with the summer of love. It's interesting how things have evolved. Liz Merriweather was very, very important in this process, and I thought it was very important for me to keep my mind and my ears open and my eyes as much as possible. I have never personally had a purple drink. Just go on record right now. But it sure sounded funny, and it sounded right, and seemed to be a perfect way to put Kevin Kline in the hospital when we needed him. Have I answered your question?
His generation gave us free love, and our generation gave the world the purple drink.
First, a comment. Having grown up down the boulevard in Jersey City, I really feel sorry for kids whose parents only think enough of them to send them to Camp Weinbach. But on the subject that Ashton was mentioning about teen girls particularly, it's rated R, so they're going to have to sneak in if they're going to get to see it. And I wondered about that.
Hopefully.
Whether you didn't embrace it. I mean, I think, Ashton, your nude scene is probably the most extended amount of skin that you see in the entire film. You've got the R rating. Why not go for it?
We made an honest movie. I mean, and unfortunately, if you make an honest movie today, it's rated R. And I mean, it really is. Like,
particularly for language and ideas, it's really not about necessarily how much nakedness or even sex there is in a film. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no.
I think audiences aren't even particularly interested in that. I think if people want to see pure sex, they have the internet, and extraordinary things are available, and that's really not what we're kind of interested in portraying. This is meant to be an honest comedy about sexuality, and the great part of it is it means that the subject matter, almost by definition, is going to get you an R now, no matter, even if there wasn't a curse word in the film. But, you know, we all use curse words an enormous amount, it seems now, particularly people in their 20s.
Philip, and for everyone, you mentioned that you've been working on this film for a little over 3 years, and I'm wondering, this always fascinates me in comedies, how do you know that what you've been saying for the past 3 years is still funny, is still working? How do you gauge that?
Well, that's a decent, I mean, that's the cliche about how hard comedy is to make. and then of course no one pays much attention to it at a certain moment in the year. But the fact is, you're re-engaging all the time. You're re-evaluating all the time. The script and the piece that you're working on is not a static thing. It evolves. You get ideas. And the hardest thing for everyone, for the writer, for the director, and certainly for the actors, is not to panic when they're doing a certain line for the 10th time. Because everything ceases to be funny after it's been repeated. And the real trick for me as a director is to make sure that the people don't start pushing. Because the harder you push as a performer, the less funny it becomes. You know, there's a tendency to sort of start to look for extraneous ways to make something that's really, by nature, already funny, but not funny to you as a performer any longer, to try to refresh it. So there's very strict about it, but, you know, comedy is a very delicate business, especially comedies that sort of attempt to do things in an honest way and in a kind of very naturalistic way, the way No Strings Attached is.
And that was one of the wonderful things about working with Ivan, because he obviously has created some of the best comedies that have ever been made, and he just really knows comedy and he really knows what he's doing. So like, he can, you know, he knows.
Okay, we have one final question over here.
For Ashton and Natalie, how are you guys both similar and different from your character and your beliefs on romance and intimacy?
I don't know. I always find it a little scary to say that I'm like a character. I was excited because the character I thought was written really specifically, and I knew who she was as soon as I read her. I mean, I don't know. I think you always need to be able to relate to your character, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have to understand why they do what they do, but you don't actually have to be like that yourself or not be, you know, I don't think you identify your own personality with it necessarily, so that's kind of, sorry, hard for me to to answer.
I agree.
But I mean, look, we're both in committed relationships, so we're not, if that helps.
I think my character sort of in some ways comes from privilege and then is trying to prove that he's, you know, trying to sort of validate his own self and his career. And I think that, you know, sort of all the elements of like the relationship with the father and you know, but I think that you always find like personal threads that you can relate to, like coming off of a really bad breakup, right? And where that leads you in from a relationship position, right? Like, I don't want to be involved. I don't want to have a relationship. I'm done with relationships. And, you know, so I think that like there are things like that that you can find that you relate to, that you plug into, that you can connect to as a person. And I think that my character's really lucky to find someone in the other character that connects. And so I think I have that in common with my character.
Okay, that concludes our press conference. And everyone, please stay seated where our guest leaves. That would be fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Nice talking.